Okay, so tonight's show, we have a special guest for the very first time. So Wax Munsky, Gnostic instructor who also presents classes at the Newcastle Gnostic Centre. Hello there.
Oh, hi Diana.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity.
It's really great to have you on the show. Now, so if you haven't seen the advertisement for tonight's program, then you're in for a treat. We have an introduction to astrology, and Zoe has agreed to help give this topic or set the scene for the series of talks we're going to be giving on astrology for the year. So let's begin with why you chose to speak on this topic today.
Well, I've had a long-standing interest in astrology, which started when I was introduced to the topic over 30 years ago by Iris Barrett, my Adelaide yoga teacher. She was a very wise woman and she was right into it. And I really loved learning about the nature of the planet and all their interactions, which make us so individual. I loved thinking about the planet, these huge, mysterious bodies in the sky made of rocks, liquids and gases. You know, these places you couldn't see or grasp, but just could imagine. And I loved the concept that the planets had a specific nature and characteristics and how they affected us. This mystical, almost romantic concept really appealed to my Piscean nature. So astrology made lots of sense to me, even though logically I couldn't explain why or how it worked.
Yes, interesting indeed. So with regard to astrology, there's so much information out there about it in many different forms. But particularly on this program, hoping that we can look into astrology from a more esoteric or spiritual point of view. It's different to the common understanding of the predictive astrology that most people or most of the listeners would be familiar with. So astrology from this esoteric point of view appears to be far deeper. There's a lot more to it than many of us can see and hear that we read about in, you know, the newspaper and in the horoscope section, which is often near the comics. So what is the study? What exactly is the study of astrology?
Well, simply the study of astrology is the study of planetary effects on people. And with astrology, we can see that there's a correlation between the movement of the planet and human nature and activity.
Okay, so how is astrology explained? So why do the planets, or how can the planets affect us when they're so far away?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Everything in the universe is energy, and we know this because Einstein taught us that mass and energy are interchangeable. He gave us that beautiful formula, which is one of my favourite formulas, E equals mc squared. Energy equals mass by the constant of light squared. So planets are just big masses, and they transmit huge amounts of energy, and we're sensitive to that energy. But all the planetary motions, all stellar motions, it's registered in the human organism. It's said that the planets evolve, live, and throb in our consciousness. Master Samael Ayanbior, the founder of the Gnostic movement, says, "The stars are sustained in the cosmic consciousness, and this consciousness resides within us. The stars are not outside of our consciousness, but are within us. They are an integral part of us." Paracelsus said, "The body comes from the elements, the soul from the stars, and the spirit from God." We don't think about it very often, but we are made up both of substance and consciousness of the stars. And as the consciousness of the stars is within us, they affect us profoundly. So we can study this science of astrology to understand more about our very selves.
Okay. Many people are quite sceptical about astrology, and some people would even be offended with astrology being called a science. Or on another note, sometimes people don't like to be attributed to certain, you know, stereotypes. So according to modern science, astrology doesn't make much sense. So is it really a valid science?
Well, the non-esoteric scientific community cannot see that there is a connection between those beautiful celestial bodies and human life. But it's interesting because Sir Isaac Newton, who we know was a highly respected physicist, well, he taught the whole world about the laws of gravity. He too had a very strong interest in astrology. And one time he was a bit scorned for his interest in astrology, and he confidently replied, "Sir, I have studied the subject and you have not." So it's interesting, but people who have no experience with astrology can be very skeptical. But if you really get into it, it can tell us lots and lots of things. Astrology is a true esoteric science. It's based on universal laws and it has predictable effects. There's a wonderful organisation in the cosmos. Master Samael Anbior says, "Intelligence governs the whole cosmos, whether it is within the infinitely small or within the infinitely large." He says, "Intelligence exists in the macrocosm and in the microcosm, in a system of worlds, in a beehive, or in an anthill. Cosmic intelligence abides precisely in each particle of this great creation." So these intelligent principles govern, control, and they actually coordinate everything in the universe. Without this intelligence, electrons couldn't rotate around the nucleus of an atom. This intelligence is present in every single atom, and this extends to the whole galaxy. And we understand these principles can apply to the smallest atoms and the largest galaxy through the profound teachings of Hermes Trismegistus, who wrote, "That which is above is like to that which is below." So this is a very profound metaphysical law of correspondences. And it tells us that there's a pattern of correspondences that's repeated and reflected in all forms of creation and physical manifestation. So this means that the macrocosm, for example, you know, the world of all the stars, finds a perfect expression, an analogous expression in the microcosm, say the small world of a person. So the latter is a reflection of the former and vice versa. And we can see an example of this when we look at the distances between subatomic particles within an atom. They have a similar ratio as the distances between planets in the solar system, or even the distances between stars in the Milky Way. And if we actually look within an atom, when we look at the electrons moving around their nucleus, they move in a similar way as planets which revolve around the sun. So without these intelligent principles, there would not be any of the extraordinary organisation that's required to maintain all the rotating planets in all the galaxies in such perfect harmony. Without this intelligence, there would be none of the extraordinary organisation that's required to maintain plants, animals and people. Without this intelligence, the organisation of a single cell couldn't even be maintained. We understand there are no random events. And because of the wonderful organisation of the universe and its predictable effects, we're able to study these effects with confidence. So I want to bring up E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass by constant. Anything that has mass has energy or a specific vibration. So everything has a vibratory frequency. We're all individually determined with a particular vibration. So it's a law. The law of affinity determines that we react to anything that sends out a similar vibration. So the law of vibratory affinity states that vibrations at a certain frequency will carry and vibrate to any other thing that has the same frequency. This is an irrefutable cosmic law. So vibrations of our macrocosmos, all the stars and galaxies, are linked to the vibrations of our microcosmos by thousands and thousands of connections. So, as above, so below. When the above moves, below cannot fail to be affected, cannot fail to move. It is law. And the most important vibrational links that we have with the planets are found in our horoscope. We are all connected and interconnected. Astrology is a science. It is a mechanical, mathematical, and predictable science, as predictable as astronomy. So just as astronomy is a precise science, because we know that the planets return and their positions can be predicted with mathematical precision, we can demonstrate the energetic effects of the planets on human characteristics and behaviour.
Wow, it's so interesting. And in previous shows, I've mentioned Sir Isaac Newton, how he's well known for his scientific laws, but he was also into the esoteric world and astrology, which I wasn't aware of. So thanks for explaining that so well. Now, could you tell us more about the esoteric nature of astrology that most people probably wouldn't be familiar with?
Yes, there is a deeper esoteric nature to astrology, and if we look more deeply, there's actually an esoteric structure to all the stars. It's a structure beyond what we can see and determine with our instruments. Within every sun, every planet, satellite, or comet, there is a secret dwelling. This dwelling is the heart temple. Every planetary body in the universe has a heart temple. So it's really beautiful, but the whole universe is actually a system of hearts. So every planet in our solar system has its ruler as well. They are divine masters, also called cosmocrators. They are angels, angels of the Elohim. So each master has their specialty, which reflects the nature and characteristics of the planet which they control. Now, the motion of each planet is actually determined by its centre. This heart centre is very important. Just like the axis of a wheel, at the centre of a wheel is really important in its movement. So the heart temple is within the centre of each celestial body, and the heart temple is the abode of the master of that planet. So we can look towards the planetary masters and the planetary characteristics to focus energy at particular times during our meditations for specific purposes. For example, Archangel Raphael is the master of Mercury and also a specialist in medicine and healing, all the healing arts. So we can ask for the help of this beautiful angel in this area during our meditations if we need to.
Okay, interesting. So, and what is the proof of the validity of astrology?
Well, astrology has been around for a very long time. All over the world, there are ruins of primitive astronomical observatories. And these are often not understood or even recognised by modern archaeologists. But there's evidence of these sites in Egypt, China, Persia, and the Americas, Central, North, and South America. Pagans looked upon the stars as living things capable of influencing the destiny of individuals, races, and nations. And long before we had all our modern telescopes, there were many remarkable calculations made with instruments actually cut from blocks of granite or pounded from sheets of copper or brass. So, And Manly P. Hall says that in all probability, we actually should be indebted to the Atlanteans and even the Lemurians for having astrology in the modern world. So the science of astrology has been around for a very, very long time. But on a more personal level, for anyone that's looked a little bit more closely into astrology, perhaps had a natal chart done, They may know a little bit more about how accurate the descriptions of their personality and even the events of their life can be. People who don't know anything about astrology put this down to coincidence or maybe loose interpretation. But the uncanny thing is that anyone who's good at astrology can accurately predict the character of people they don't even know, simply by examining their natal chart. So astrology really is more than just a game, a fantasy or a fanciful activity. The details, the accuracy, it's more than a coincidence. It is beyond our usual science, but it is real. It's a form of truth that doesn't need to be denied.
Okay, we will take a short music break at this point. And So has suggested that we play a track from the host's music, The Planets. And so I'm going to play the track on Neptune. And then we'll be back to continue on this fascinating topic. So continuing on, why would one want to study astrology, so?
Well, we can really understand and expand our self-awareness when we understand the influence of the cosmos in our personal psychology. The mechanicity in our life is controlled by our egos, and we've talked a lot about egos, but also by planetary influences. All of our movements, actions, words, ideas, emotions, feelings, and desires are stimulated, provoked, if you like, by internal and external influences. So we spend a lot of time examining the ego in our Gnostic studies, but I think it's also important to have a basic understanding of the planetary influences on our individual lives. We are actually so controlled by the planets. Just as the planets are under universal laws, they've got their own mechanicity of mathematical movements, orbits. And that's why their movements can be predicted so precisely. But the movements of the planets also affect us mechanically. Now, all the planets have specific characteristics and natures which affect us in specific ways. If we were to anthropomorphize the planets, it is like the planets have our mechanicity in the palm of their hands, actually. So if they were to look down upon us, for example, Jupiter would be smiling or laughing. Saturn would be shaking its head going, and Mercury would be scratching its head trying to work out what we were thinking when we were acting so illogically sometimes. Basically, we're a little bit like wind-up mechanical men. The planets wind us up, and then we play out our little program. We don't realise it, but the influence of the planets in our lives is a completely mathematical and predictable process. It's important to understand the mechanicity of that influence that the planets bring to our individual psychology. Because if we don't actually accept our mechanicity, we actually can't change. When we start accepting this can lead us to what we call comprehension and eventual transformation.
Okay, so what would be the benefits of knowing your astrological chart or about your personal astrology?
Well, looking at our astrology, we can really learn about what we say good and bad attributes. So this mathematical astrology is the horoscope of the personality. This is how Alice Bailey describes it. Personality, as we know, is a vehicle of the ego. The ego expresses through our personality. But we can use astrology to learn about our ego. Usually, when we're thinking about ourselves, we only want to know the good things about ourselves because the egos don't want to be exposed. But within our personal astrology, there's a map, and it's a place where our egos can be exposed. So knowing our astrology can help us to see what we call our psychological country. And this includes the hidden face of our psychological moon, which is basically egos that are unknown to us. This is basically our subconscious. So, yeah, we all like to hear nice, good things about ourselves, our good aspects. You know, we always want to hear about good things. But from the esoteric point of view, we can learn a lot more about ourselves when we find out a little bit more about those bad aspects or those negative features. So we can look at astrology as shining a light upon our egos if only we keep our eyes open to the light. But we need to stay open and honestly look at ourselves. So, you know, these negative characteristics, these so-called bad characteristics, they expose our egos. But this gives us areas that we can work on. This can give us a chance to look at this mechanistic way of reacting to the world. So when we know our predispositions, we can more easily see our reactions to life. And yeah, looking at those good aspects or those more positive features can show us what we can maybe describe as virtues or areas where we may more easily develop virtues. And this is also very useful for our personal work. One of our Gnostic teachers once said, we are born with a zodiacal personality that is linked to our karma. But karmically, we are born with that personality to undergo the ordeals of that particular sign and learn about that sign and its relationship to the world and others. So we might not have a chart or access to a natal chart, but we all know our sun sign. You know, this sun sign relates to the zodiac. Zodiac is a Greek term, and it comes from the word zodiakos, which means a circle of animals. So the zodiac is a band of fixed stars which encircles the earth. And this band of stars is divided into 12 zodiacal constellations. And these 12 zodiacal constellations are commonly known as star signs, or more accurately, sun signs. And, you know, we've heard about this. We all know whether we're Aries or Gemini or Libra, at the time of our birth. So our solar system revolves within the influence of these 12 zodiacal constellations. And our star sign, which actually is a bit of a misnomer because it's really our sun sign, but we all know, you know, we know from the magazines it's our star sign. But it's the sun sign and it's dependent on our date of birth. So the sun in our solar system is under the influence of one of these zodiacal constellations for about a month. So this occurs in yearly cycles with 12 constellations of influence. So our sun sign corresponds to the constellation which was influencing our sun at the time of birth. And knowing our sun sign, it's actually an important thing because the sun sign is the most dominant sign in our horoscope and it indicates our physical, mental and psychological nature. Our sun sign is very much about our personality.
So given that there are 12 zodiacal signs, does this mean that people who have the same sun sign will be similar to each other?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because this is also one of the criticisms of astrology that, you know, there's only 12 categories, so, you know, the whole of humanity is in these 12 categories. But it's interesting because astrology is not so limited as to only have the whole of humanity divided into 12 categories. The individual sun signs are also influenced by the specific position of all specific planets in our solar system. So if we consider not just one planet but all the planets, in relation to the zodiac, This leads to an almost limitless combination, limitless combinations and permutations. And this what contributes to our individual nature. But, yeah, it's a good question because there's likely to be basic similarities to people who have the same sun sign. Although, of course, these effects can be influenced and altered by the position of all the other planets on one's personal natal chart. Ostensky, who was a student of Gurdjieff, he writes, different combinations of planetary influences make different essences. Individual men are different according to their essence. Essence or type of man is the result of planetary influence. Planets make us what we are. So, as I said, the sun sign indicates our physical, mental and spiritual nature. But more importantly, which we can really grasp easily, it is about our personality. So it can be very useful to know about the usual nature of our sun sign. However, when we relate, you know, sometimes we have a particular sun sign, but we can really relate to another sign. And we shouldn't be too concerned about this because we need to understand that we can relate to the other signs within us because, in fact, all the planets and all the zodiacal signs influence us to a varying degree. So just to sort of put it simply, the influence of the zodiac really predisposes us to form egos, and we can actually find our egos in our zodiacal sign. Master Samael tells us that the human body is a living zodiac, and in each of its 12 constellations, the consciousness sleeps profoundly.
Okay, so can we wake up from this set predictability? Many people resist this deterministic aspect of astrology. Can we free ourselves from our astrological influence?
Well, I said in the beginning that astrology is a science with very predictable outcomes. And just like the wheel of samsara, it runs a very predictable course. However, when we start to look at changing ourselves, to combating our egos, to raise our consciousness, we look to slowly but slowly release ourselves from all our mechanical programming. So by raising our level of consciousness, we actually become less controlled by this predictive mechanicity of what I see as our astrological destiny. We actually have the ability and we can intervene in the destiny of our predetermined astrological path. Now, there may be a few astrologers out there who may disagree with that, but as we change, we can actually intervene. If we're not interested in changing ourselves, then this mathematical astrological program that we're familiar with becomes the complete destiny of our personality. And, you know, this particular program, it's a very good place to start to find out about ourselves, about our egos and all of that. But when we're wanting to work on ourselves spiritually, we aim to go beyond the destiny of our personality. And it's interesting because Alice Bailey, she talks about two types of astrology. She talks about exoteric astrology, which is occupied with the horoscope for the personality. And then there's esoteric astrology, which is occupied with the purposes of the soul. So we're sort of looking to actually start to become independent of our astrology. And we do this by creating what we call a conscious center of gravity. So most of us currently have what we call a mechanical center of gravity. Our center of gravity is located in our personality. But the conscious center of gravity is located in the essence. It's located in the consciousness, in the soul. but it's only possible to achieve this when we work on ourselves. If we want to create a conscious center of gravity, we need to eliminate our egos, all our psychological defects that we talk about, and then we can start to create this conscious center of gravity. One of our Gnostic teachers has said, we're tied to this zodiac or spheres of cosmic vibration with the only purpose of perfecting our spirit in that great stellar crucible. So don't worry too much about your astrology. Some people can get a little bit concerned about this sort of thing. Don't worry if you don't like your sun sign. Don't worry if you've had a natal chart and you don't like what's in it. The wonderful thing is as you progress in your esoteric work, this mechanical astrological destiny will actually become less predictable. As you change yourself, you eliminate your ego and you will much less reflect your astrological destiny. So this is something we can aim for. We want to work spiritually to eliminate our psychological defects, and then we can slowly create this conscious center of gravity. And the conscious center of gravity will liberate us from these mechanical effects of our astrology. And each time we raise our level of being, we become a little more independent from the planetary influences.
Okay, we'll just take another short music break and then we'll go into the meditation part of this show.